Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. When the hospital ship Manunda eventually tied up at Fremantle, people swarmed up the gangplank. Everyone was laden with the most glorious flowers and fruit, arms full of them. First on deck, I think, was Iole's mother, but Iole could not be found. After she saw her family on the wharf, she fled down to her cabin and started to pack again. I might add she'd been packing for days. We were taken out to the military hospital at Hollywood, and our reception there was unforgettable. Flowers were everywhere, even on the ceilings, beautifully arranged in patterns of red, white, and blue. They'd come from every garden in Perth, and they were breathtaking.
Oh, I've never seen anything like the flowers, and the way they're done. Oh, look at those over there, Jeff.
I can't take it all in. I'm speechless.
And these, Jeff, look. Oh, who's calling me?
Oh, it's Viv.
Oh.
Over there.
Yes, Viv?
Come over here. There's a couple of your old friends.
Oh, good. Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, come out of the trance.
What? Oh, I'm spellbound about everything, Iole.
I can't believe it yet that I'm home. That this is all real.
Where's your mother?
Oh, she's over there running about like a cat with two tails. Listen, Jeff, we want you to come out and spend the night with us. We can bring you in the morning in plenty of time.
But, Iole, you don't want outsiders around on your first night home.
Don't be silly. You're not an outsider. It's all fixed, Jeff. And we've got a surprise for you. This is your room, Jeff.
Oh, doesn't that bed look wonderful?
Tired?
Exhausted.
Come and see your surprise. Then you can go to bed or wander about or do what you like.
Where is this surprise?
Just along the hall here, but we'd better hurry or it might run away.
Iole, if this is a joke with something alive...
Well, it's not exactly alive, but it can move pretty quickly. here we are. Open the door.
Well, do I have to knock?
No, just open it.
Well, here goes. Oh, Iole... A bathroom. A real bathroom.
Isn't it beautiful?
The bath already run and everything. Oh, I can smell bath sauce.
There's powder on the shelf, and this is your towel.
A colored one. Oh, this is heaven. Shiny tiles, steam. Oh, I'm just going to wallow. My first hot bath for nearly 4 years. If Iole hadn't been waiting to take her turn, I think I would have slept in it. The baths on the ship were cold, salt water ones, so this was the real thing at last. Bright taps, bath mat, everything. The next day, we were issued with skirts and stockings to wear instead of slacks, which feel much better. We boarded the Manunda and sailed for Melbourne.
Won't be long now, Jeff. You'll be really home.
Poor old Jeff.
What do you mean, Jenny?
Well, it's a shame to think that your homecoming will be wet.
What are you talking about?
Well, it can't be anything else, can it?
I mean, Melbourne's always wet. Now, in Sydney...
That's right, Jeff. You know, it always rains in Melbourne, doesn't it?
Not always at all.
I'll bet you anything you like it's raining when we get in.
What will you bet?
Dinner somewhere?
Done.
Jeff, what's the name of that muddy creek that runs through Melbourne?
I won't bite.
Never mind, Jeff. I'll see if I can borrow an umbrella for you.
24th of October, 1945, 5 p.m. It is raining. We are due in Melbourne in 1 hour. It's wet and cold, visibility nil. My Sydney friends are grinning all over their faces. They expected it. Well, here it is, and I'm proud of it.
Station 3KZ Melbourne, the time is 9 o'clock. Here is the news. Sisters from Sumatra arrived. Crowds stood and cheered and a band played as 22 Australian nurses disembarked from the hospital ship Manunda at Port Melbourne earlier this evening. There, the Australian Army nursing sisters recovered from Sumatra, where they have been prisoners of the Japanese for 3.5 years. As soon as the liner berthed, Lady Duggan, in Red Cross uniform, accompanied by Major General Burston, Director General of Medical Services, Colonel A.M. Sage, Matron-in-Chief, and Lieutenant Colonel E.L. Shaw, Principal Matron Southern Command, went aboard to welcome the sisters. At the town hall, a big crowd stood in the rain to cheer the sisters on their way to Heidelberg Hospital.
Hello, Jeff.
Viv.
Oh, how good to see you. Drag that chair over and sit here.
Oh. I brought you a few magazines and some fruit.
Thanks. It's funny. I still can't resist buying food for people I want to give a present to.
How are you, Jeff?
Oh, I'm fine.
But I mean, really. How much longer are you going to be in hospital?
Oh, I don't know, Viv. I'm making progress, but it's so darn slow.
Well, you'll have to hurry up and get discharged.
Oh, you mean on general principles or something special?
Something very special. We're to march, or rather ride on floats, through the city on November the 29th.
Oh, the one to help raise funds for the Florence Nightingale Fund for the War Nurses' Home.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jeff, you can't miss it. Woody'll be there, and Sister James, Oram, and the Duchess of Gloucester will take the salute, and Matron Sage will lead us. Jeff, you've got to be there.
Don't worry, I will be.
The Duchess of Gloucester as she takes the salute. The nursing sisters of the Army, Navy, and Air Force are a splendid sight as they march smartly past the saluting platform. And here come the floats. The first one carries the 6 Victorian sisters recently recovered from Japanese hands, including Sister Bullwinkle, only survivor of the Banker Island massacre. And now, passing the platform, is the float representing the 1914-1918 war.
Would you buy a button?
Well, yes. What's it for?
We're raising funds for the War Nurses Memorial Center.
Here, give me a 2-shilling one.
Thank you.
To raise funds for the War Nurses Memorial Center. It will be a most worthwhile memorial to the nurses who have given their lives in the war, but for me, it will stand especially for the Australian sisters who died as prisoners of the Japanese when the end of the Second World War was in sight. We who knew them remember their courage, particularly when they knew they were dying. We remember the sister who apologized for taking so long to die. She knew there was so much nursing to be done in that crude hospital on Banker Island. We remember another sister who dictated a letter to her family when she knew she couldn't make it home. We remember. We were there. The center will stand as tangible proof that you remember too.
Jeff. I think we've earned a rest, you and I.
Well, I'm going to get it. I've got to go back into hospital for a once-over.
Oh, no, I mean a real rest. Away, right away. We've got leave coming to us. Jeff, why don't we go to England as we planned?
Viv and Jeff in Wonderland. I'd nearly forgotten. It seems so long ago.
Well, I think we should go as soon as possible. I've been looking up ships, you know. We needn't go through Singapore and Colombo if we don't want to. We could go through Italy.
It was nearly a year before we sailed for England on our fairy tale trip. Like all good fairy tales, which always go according to plan, there was snow falling when we arrived in London. It glistened and nestled in the trees and made the parks look just like Christmas cards. We have a dear little flat at Regent's Park. We've ridden on buses, seen the changing of the guard, been to lovely Hyde Park to watch the Royal Horse Artillery fire a salute to the King's birthday.
Oh, Jeff, this is wonderful. Oh, the pomp and splendor of it all. And look at their uniforms.
The colors on the snow. Oh, Viv, isn't it beautiful? Hey, Viv, where are you going?
I'm just going to get a better view of the cannon.
Hey, come back, Viv. You might be too tough for a Jap machine gun, but you won't live to tell the tale if a cannon hits you. We went to Westminster Abbey to see the Nurses' Memorial Chapel and Memorial Window. And St. Paul's. We had the sort of five-course luncheon at the Savoy that we'd dreamed about. We talked to London bobbies. And, of course, they should all be in the diplomatic service.
Which entrance to the tower did Queen Elizabeth have to walk through?
Well, that'll be Trader's Gate, miss. That's on...
How do we get to the museum?
If you go
I know that, Jeff. Why is it called Piccadilly Circus?
I can't rightly say, miss, but if you was to hurry across the park now, you might see Prince Charles out with his
nurse. Really? Oh, thank you, officer. Come on, Viv. Thank you for being so helpful.
Lummy, talk about ask a policeman. I've never heard the like.
Of course, there was no sign of Prince Charles. It was just a very polite way to get rid of us and our endless questions. The greatest thrill was the day we received a letter from Queen Mary's secretary saying that Her Majesty would like to receive us. This was more exciting than any of our Viv and Jeff in Wonderland dreams. We were in London and going to see the Queen. January 1951, London. It's been a long way from the steaming jungle where we dreamt of coming here. And even in our wildest dreams, we didn't imagine we'd be going to Marlborough House to visit Queen Mary. The royal summons gave us one day's notice. Viv and I were both in a dither.
Jeff. Jeff.
Yes?
I'm scared.
Shh. Comes the lady in waiting. Yes.
Miss Jeffrey and Miss Bullwinkle, how do you do?
How do you do? How do you do?
Now, which is which?
This is Vivian Bullwinkle. I'm Betty Jeffrey.
Will you come this way? It's so very nice to meet Australians again. I was in Australia nearly 15 years ago. I liked it tremendously.
Escorted by a guardsman, Lady Cynthia Colville ushered us into a small red plush lift, which took us to Queen Mary's sitting room.
Miss Betty Jeffrey and Miss Vivian Bullwinkle, Your Majesty.
Come and sit down. Now, tell me all about it.
For an hour, we talked with the Queen Mother alone. She asked us questions that showed she already knew a great deal about prison camps and had a deep understanding for us. Now, amongst our most treasured possessions, are signed portraits which Her Majesty gave us as we left Marlborough House. It was a wonderful, unforgettable day.
June 1952, Melbourne.
Oh, Brett. Hello? Who? Oh, hello, Woody. Fine. Up to my ears at the moment. I can't, Woody. I'm typing like mad. I've got to get a fair copy of my diary ready to go to the publishers. It's an awful job. The poor thing's so battered it's like a pack-a-poo ticket. Look, I'll give you a ring next week, Woody, and we'll tee something up. All right. Bye. Now, where was I? Foul, Palembang model. Flew over the fence from the Jap guardhouse.
March 1954. British and Australian book reviews.
White Coolies is a truly magnificent piece of literature. Lucid, expressive, revealing, and without the slightest suggestion of any striving for a style or effect.
It is a measure of the triumph of these women that this book is moving, tragic, and humorous, but never depressing.
I hope this book becomes a world bestseller. It's my book of the year.
The tragic, comical, heartwarming history of a gallant sisterhood.
Goodness, Jeff, what have you said about us all?
April 1954, Melbourne.
Since the publication of White Coolies, there have been some unexpected sequels. There was a grand surprise on Anzac Day when we were assembling for the march. A young digger dashed up to me and said,
I'm Bates from Thornbury.
It was the same boy who had marched past the Jap guards and made for Hut 13 in the camp at Lubok Lingau. I've had letters from fellow prisoners with whom I'd lost touch.
Dear Sister Jess, it has been great excitement to me to read your wonderful book. It has been translated into Dutch, so I could read it with ease. I hope you keep well, dear Sister Jess, and are happy. God bless you. With great fondness, Hilda Brookhouse.
And letters from strangers.
I enclose a photograph of my boy who was posted missing in Malaya. I hope and pray that you might have seen him and could tell me what happened to him.
Letters from libraries and museums.
We feel it would be most fitting for your original diaries to be placed in the Canberra War Memorial.
Writing to advise you that your book, White Coolies, has been translated into Braille by the Blind Association of London and will be sent in this form all over the world.
Until in March 1955...
Letter for you there, Jeff.
Oh, thanks. Dear Miss Jeffrey, we wish to advise you that we have been approached by Australasian Radio Productions in regard to rights for a radio adaptation of your book, White Coolies. Heavens, how? We feel that this is a further opportunity for your book to reach many people.
You're becoming a celebrity, Jeff.
Here, have another cake.
Oh, no, thanks, Viv.
The thing is, when can I fit in this trip to Sydney?
Why do they want you to go?
Well, I have to give them the details. You know, instead of saying three of us did so-and-so, I have to tell them which three and why we did whatever it was.
Quite a job. It'll be nice to see Sydney again. Do you remember when you and I went over and you stalled the car in the middle of the bridge?
April 1955, Sydney.
Oh, come in, Miss Jeffrey. Did you have a good flight?
A bit bumpy, thanks.
Well, after the things you've been through, I don't suppose that would worry you. May I introduce Miss Friend?
How do you do, Miss Jeffrey?
How do you do?
She's the one who will adapt the book.
There's just one thing I want to say before we go any further. I started to keep a diary in camp to give me something to think about at first. Then it became a sort of account of events. But it's about all the girls. Don't you make any bleeding little hero out of me.
February the 28th, 1956.
I sincerely hope I haven't done anything in the adaptation of White Coolies that's gone against the grain. In every way, I've tried to be faithful to the book and to what I knew about the girls, the real White Coolies. In letters to me, Betty Jeffrey has said, I bet you'll be glad when Coolies comes to an end. I'm not glad. It's one of the saddest things that's ever happened to me.
The production of White Coolies has been a challenge to me. A show that is written by a woman, adapted by a woman, produced by a woman, played by a nearly all-woman cast, is unique in radio. A show that has made even the most hardened of us cry real tears at the microphone is unique anywhere. We have subtitled ourselves Wet Coolies. A show that has the author in the studio on the last day of production to meet her cast is history. May I present Sister Betty Jeffrey.
Hello, Miss Van Farn.
Welcome, Miss Jeffrey. And now I would like you to meet your radio White Coolies.
Yes, I'd like to, thanks.
Right. First, Sister Blanche.
Diana Perryman.
Sister Delphos.
Peg Christensen.
Sister Doyle.
Moira Redmond.
Sister Greer.
Mary Clark.
Sister Gunther.
Cornelia Harvey.
Sister James.
Queenie Ashton.
Sister Trotter.
Wynn Nelson.
Sister Woodbridge.
Joan Lander.
Sister Hannah.
Laurel Mather.
Sister Ashton.
Barbara St. Ledger.
Sister Bullwinkle.
Margot Lee.
Sister Harper.
June Salter.
Sister McElnay.
Diana Davidson.
Sister Short.
Marie Austin.
Sister Smith.
Pat Crocker.
And as Sister Betty Jeffrey, Ruth Cracknell.
How do you do?
How do you do, Sister Jeffrey?
Miss Cracknell, I've wanted so much to meet the one that played me.
And I've wanted to meet you. I only wish that it wasn't the end of Coolies. I think I speak for all the cast when I say we're going to feel very lost. I know I feel as if part of me's gone.
I would like to say to you too, Miss Cracknell, and to the whole cast, and the technicians, and to Miss Banvard and Miss Friend, that while I've listened to the show in Melbourne, it hasn't just been listening to a play from my book. I've felt the same old feelings all over again. I think that you must all have been there with us because you've made it all so real. Thank you all very much. I'd also like to thank ARP for making it possible for me to be here for this last episode of White Coolies.
Thank you, Sister Jeffrey.
White Coolies, the story of Australian Army nursing sisters, is dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Marcia Hathaway.
Sister Freeman.
Barbara Brunton.
Sister Mittelhauser.
Coralie Neville.
Sister Singleton.
Marjorie Holt.
Sister Raymond.
Muriel Steinbeck.
Sister Hempstead.
Madge Ryan.
Story. A story that must be remembered. The story of women who fought and died for you and me. No greater compliment could they receive than that paid by the late Field Marshal Sir Thomas Blamey when he referred to them as a magnificent service. White Coolies was adapted from the book by Sister Betty Jeffrey by Gwen Friend and produced by Fifi Banbard, an Australasian radio production.